Good evening and welcome, everyone. Each of your presences is a blessing to all of us. So we come together tonight in the fullness of intention to wonder together about the fullness of human possibility in and as Christ. So we affirm that there is divine light here with us. There is grace and mercy and truth for each one of us in the fulfillment of our destiny. So we begin our evening in the name of God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen. We enter into this evening, which is the fifth week of Easter, by calling upon the conscious circle of humanity to gather with us and inform us. And since Sunday is Mother's Day, one of the spiritual mothers, so to speak, of our tradition, who represents the feminine face of conscious humanity, we will turn to this evening, and that person is again Jean de Salzman, also known as Madame de Salzman, whose book, The Reality of Being, The Fourth Way of Gurdjieff, is currently our community reading. I highly recommend this book for all of us. Her date of death at the age of 101 was May 24th, 1990. This is her reflection from her book, one of many that are profound. The child wants to have. The adult wants to be. The wish to be is behind all my manifestations. To learn to see is the first initiation into self-knowledge. We struggle not against something, we struggle for something. I believe I need to pay attention when in fact first I need to see and know my inattention. When I began to see, I began to love what I see. Where our attention is, God is. When I began to see, I began to love what I see. May that be so for us as well. So once again, we prepare ourselves to begin to see, to begin to love. And we do so in the quietness of stillness of the presence of our own inner being. And we prepare to hear what is ours to hear at this time, to let go of fear, to risk, to step forward if we are called to do so. This matters to our very selves, for one another, and for all the world, because that is what we're emanating into the world. We place ourselves with intention and imminent trust and receptivity to the influences that are coming from the conscious circle of humanity through one another. And we prepare to receive them with all the consciousness that we can muster, with back upright, heart open, mind quiet, in directed attention, body relaxed, noticing perhaps, and then releasing all tension, all constriction, all resistance. We breathe in deeply all every most hidden part of our being, all being, everything. Everything that passed through us this day, our world today. Everything that hurt, that confused, that created fear, that brought heaviness, that left us feeling powerless, less than, more than. Everything. Everything that uplifted, that loved, that brought joy, all affirming, all denying. And we hold it as offering, reconciled as food for being. We lift it and ask that all be transubstantiated in our being as whole, as lovely, as radiant, as beloved of God, as we ourselves are beloved of God. We do this on behalf of everyone and everything. And we breathe out this healing light into the world, all worlds. I hand over all complexities. I hand over all plans. I hand over all anxieties and small fears of my heart. I open to the divine human life that is mine. I am here. I am. I wish. I can work. I stand unencumbered before God and one another. And so it is. So we will share our reading in this manner of Lectio Divina, reading, listening, three times. Permit whoever seeks never to cease from seeking until he finds. When he succeeds, he will be turned around. When he's so turned, he'll be amazed and shall rule over all. For God's kingdom dwells in your heart and all around you. When you know yourself, you too shall be known. You'll be aware that you're the sons and daughters of our living Father. But if you fail to know your own self, you're in hardship and are that hardship. Where am I? Where am I in relation to God, to myself, and to others? Permit whoever seeks never to cease from seeking until he finds. When he succeeds, he will be turned around. When he so turns, he'll be amazed and shall rule over all. For God's kingdom dwells in your heart and all around you. When you know yourself, you too shall be known. You'll be aware that you're the sons and daughters of our living Father. But if you fail to know your own self, you're in hardship and are that hardship. Where am I? Where am I in relation to God, to myself, and to others? Permit whoever seeks never to cease from seeking until he finds. When he succeeds, he will be turned around. When he so turned, he'll be amazed and shall rule over all. For God's kingdom dwells in your heart and all around you. When you know yourself, you too shall be known. You'll be aware that you're the sons and daughters of our living Father. If you fail to know your own self, you're in hardship and are that hardship. Where am I? Where am I in relation to God, to myself, and to others? Amen. So I invite you to share with us what you receive from this passage, or perhaps from gazing at the artwork and how it spoke to you and revealed something inner in the passage itself. Melba, good evening. Welcome.
Hello, everybody. I love the image. The first thing I saw was a dragon. And it's the face, it's kind of smiling. The face is towards the upper left-hand corner. And what I found intriguing by the passage was the dot, dot, dot will be what did it say? You will be amazed and rule over all dot, yeah. Dot, dot. Yeah. And it wasn't until I got to the passage of hardship that I realized, oh, you will rule over all identifications, all hardships. And I love the fact that she did the dot, 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 because there's so many negative things that we, intellectually, emotionally, and our, you know, our instinctive centers are conditioned to put these limitations and blinders. And so I feel like it would be harder to list all the perceptual incongruities that we have.
Yes.
So it was nicer to say, you will rule over all of your issues with identification, with perception.
That's beautiful. Thank you for that perception, Melba. Thank you. Cynthia, good evening.
Hello, everybody. I don't think I can answer the question, what is my relation to God, or what is my relation to self or others? I don't know that I can know that, but I do know, and to me that felt like the top picture with the grid, like trying to find my place, like a map. But the bottom part of the picture was like the blue abyss, and I find myself in that. I feel like I do know how to seek, and I feel like I've been seeking my entire life, and I feel that that seeking is like the deer that panteth for the water, or like the Sufis that embrace the longing. And so I think I live in that state of the blue abyss there.
Yes, it's beautiful. Thank you, Cynthia. Jim, good evening.
There we go. Yeah, I found the first couple of lines of the poem encouraging and hopeful. Permit whoever seeks never to cease from seeking until he finds. And when he succeeds, he will be turned around. It doesn't say if he succeeds, it says when he succeeds, which I find encouraging and hopeful. And it is, to me, a reflection of our faith. Our faith, when we step out in faith, we don't say, well, if the promises of God transpire. No, he says, when they transpire. And so that gives me, you know, it's kind of like a prospector going out to look for gold. He doesn't say, well, maybe I'll find it, maybe I won't. He goes out and says, I'm going to find it, you know. And that's, you know, and our faith, when we look at our faith that way, it gives, at least me, it gives me hope. It gives me encouragement. And it gives meaning and purpose and joy, really. You've got a challenge there. that you know you're going to meet, and that gives you joy and a great hope and a great energy, energizes you. So that's what I get out of that.
It's wonderful. Thank you, Jim. Thank you. You're welcome. Jan, good to see you. Welcome.
Unmute. I'm going to just kind of piggyback on what Jim just said. The first lines, you know, permit whoever seeks never to cease until he finds, because sometimes I think I'm never going to find. That's the Eeyore in me. And the description in this email is sometimes, or in other emails, sometimes describes the absolute ultimate. Here's where we, and this one sometimes reads, could be, should be, is striving to be, but I'm not, you know? And then what Jim said, and when he succeeds. Mm-hmm. So it's always, you know, I remember when I first came in, there were early things I could not get. And now I understand. Mm-hmm. So it's like sticking with it, no matter how many years.
That's right.
Thank you.
Yes, and thank you for your perseverance, Jan. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Sabrina, we'll take Sabrina and Cheryl and then Guy. Welcome.
Hi, Marianne. Hi, everybody. When I first saw the image on my laptop, I thought of a map. And I just realized the correlation with the questions at the end, asking, where am I with God and myself and others? The longer I stared at the image, I did see a puppy dog in the top middle to the top right, a dog with black eyes and brown around his eyes and brown ears and a white muzzle. And then I saw a little doll to the left. Mm. And the questions are, it's like just what I needed to be hearing about. This morning, I found myself identifying with a little eye and didn't feel so great about it. And so before my centering prayer, I practiced self-remembering. And you know how we think of time as longitudinal? I thought of the vertical, all that is, past, present, future. And I thought of how we all return to God, who is unconditional love. And I thought of every soul that ever was and ever will be and ever is, as all white lights coming together to, I don't know, make it even brighter, if that's possible. Mm-hmm. And it helped me in my centering prayer. It really did.
That's wonderful. Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing, Sabrina.
Thank you.
Cheryl.
Hi, Marianne. Hi, everyone. Can you hear me? Yes. Oh, good. Yes. Use the steering wheel. I am driving, but pulled over. This entire Easter season, I'm experiencing awakening, and it continues to unfold. And if you fail to know your own self, you know hardship, you are in hardship. And in this past week, I'm realizing I have forgiven others. I'm the only one I haven't forgiven. And it's time to let myself off the hook, you know?
Yes.
And it's just such a blessing. Thank you. Thank you for this. It was the exclamation point.
Wonderful. Thank Bless you. You, Cheryl. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Guy, thank you. We'll close this part of our evening with you.
Well, thank you. I don't recall anything intellectual at all about dyslexia, but I just sort of melted and dissolved into the cloud of unknowing and felt very, very peaceful. But what I wanted to really say was I felt very connected to my community. I just felt the presence of being hugged and connected to everybody. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Guy. Thank you. Well, what a wonderful way to bring all of those impressions together and to enter the next part of our evening. Well, we will also then move and continue to journey in this vast subject of self-remembering. And I am joyful to introduce Pamela Begeman, who will accompany us in our sharings and in our journey further into God. Thank you, Pamela. Welcome.
Thank you, Marianne. Hi, everybody. I'd like to start by having you cup your hands or just leave them open on your laps in a gesture of receiving. And join me in prayer. We dedicate and consecrate this evening to the work and the will of God for the benefit of all sentient beings. And may we dwell in the heart of the Mother. May each of us receive a personal gift from the Spirit. May each of us be awakened and opened and healed. May each of us be touched with the delightful kiss of presence. Amen. I never know what to talk about, and I never have anything to say, so Marianne graciously gave me a couple of questions to consider. What does self-remembering mean to me today? How has it changed over the years? And if I could share some experiences. So we'll explore those questions, but we're also going to practice together a couple of times and in a couple of different ways. We're also going to be shown some art, and if you're like me, you'll pay more attention to the art than the words. I love abstract art because it can hold everything from a blue abyss to a puppy. And everything in between. It gives so much space for each of us to receive what we need and what we see. And so I hope that the art that I'll be sharing evokes further images and presences to each of you. Everything that I'm going to say has been given. None of it is mine. It's all an accumulation of people who have gone before me, people who have shared their gifts with me. So I claim none of it, and I'm grateful for all of it. And a very deep bow to Donald and to Ken for what they shared. It was and is still really moving to me that I know people like that, who have such being and depth and such gifts. It's really singular. So I'm deeply grateful. I was also just sort of left with a hole, and in that hole came rushing in doubt as to what I could even say or offer after that. And could I say anything? What could I do? What could I be that would be useful on the topic of self-remembering in this third week? So between last week and this week, I really had to find my way. And I had to find it authentic for me. I had to sense, and I had to remember, and I had to breathe, and I had to walk out a path. I mean, and a lot of times that happens for me by literally walking and just letting my soul fly. So what is authentic for me is a sense of rootedness, of groundedness, of emptiness, and spaciousness, and a freedom of being that's filled with the energies of gratitude and aliveness, not knowing, attention is present, and it's part of that aliveness. So for me, self-remembering is when the small things really matter. They really come alive. Like the feelings of my fingers on a keyboard, where I spend a lot of time. Or the air coming in and out of my nostrils. Or the dust in a sunbeam. Or the million shades of purple in a flower. These are ways that I find myself and I find presence. And it becomes this amazing reciprocity of being. And because it's such small things, it encourages simplicity. And then in turn, simplicity encourages self-remembering because there's so much space. Higher impressions like art encourage self-remembering. And then in turn, self-remembering seeks higher impressions. It's a mutual feeding. The presence is irresistible and completely fulfilling if I give my attention to it. And that's the dance, the back and forth. Daily life is a school of presence. It's my primary school. This is another one. And I'm going to talk about a secret school that I go to that's been very helpful. And self-remembering, when I remember the act, is devotion to that presence. I don't think about presence. I just enjoy it. And I am it. And that's what we'll explore together. And we're going to do that with some practices. And I'd like you to put one hand on your heart and one hand on your belly. And while you're feeling your body, I'll tell you about this secret school that I go to at the Y. No one knows about this school. I think I'm the only one, or if other people know about it, they don't say anything. But it's a place where everyone belongs, people in wheelchairs, people with Down syndrome. Nobody wears special clothes. Most of us don't comb our hair before we go there. And it's this amazing place of acceptance, just total acceptance. And I've learned a lot there, and we're going to practice some of the things that I've learned from this special secret wisdom school. And putting my hand on my heart and my belly and just feeling that and sort of reincarnating with this touch has become so powerful for me. And it's even more powerful doing it with all of you. And I invite you to have a soft tongue and a soft jaw. I often have to unhinge my jaw. And just follow your breath. And hold yourself in the highest personal regard. Just love all over yourself. Be the witness, not the doer. Just witness these 72 trillion cells who happen to be you, which is mostly space, a little bit of carbon, some water. Just be the witness. Feeling your breath, feeling your belly expanding. Now I'd like you to take your hands and rub them together and create some energy. Rub them together. Feel the energy, feel the friction, feel the heat. Feel the movement, feel the aliveness. And then I'd like you to place your hand someplace on your body that needs healing or blessing. And don't overthink it. Just place your hand someplace that needs healing or blessing. And just let that healing and blessing radiate through you. Feeling this amazing life force, this amazing energy, radiance, presence. Healing light. Healing breath. And now, one hand over your heart and one hand over your belly. You might switch the hands. And what if we could know that it was the best of times and it was the worst of times, and all of it is true all at once? Can you feel and sense into the opposites and just be here? Can you feel the best of times and the worst of times and just let it all flow through you? Just be the witness. Can you accept everything that's ever happened to you in this lifetime and all lifetimes? Can you forgive everything and everyone? Can you allow it to all flow through? It's all part of the curriculum of this school of awakening. I am enough. I have enough. I am. When I begin to see, I love what I see. When I begin to feel, I love what I feel. When I begin to sense, I love what I sense. Can you practice ahimsa with yourself? Nonviolence, complete compassion and gentleness, ahimsa. Can you practice this with all living things? We can make that aim, and we can feel the truth and the goodness of it. Amen. So we've just done a little bit of yoga of self-remembering, part three in the series. And what I did in the last few emails, and first of all, I mean, look at this art. It's just stunning. Anyway, what I did in the last three emails is I just pulled some of the words that described the state of self-remembering, and I'm going to share them here. We just experienced some of those, but maybe these words will come back to you from previous emails and your own experience. Concrete sensation. Focused attention. Present to the present, and present to presence. Self-emptying as a process, not as a destination. I loved this phrase, a current of pure feeling for the true, the real. And to me, this really connects with conscience. And I was so glad that there was a review and a discussion of conscience before we came to self-remembering, because it's been very much enlivened in me and part of my self-remembering process. Radiance. Spacious stillness. Wide being horizon. Ease of being. And for me, this is really speaking about the experience of real I, which is feeling all together and knowing all together, which is part of what we were just practicing. With hands on our hearts, hands on our bellies, and letting all flow through us. So you might have some other words or descriptions, but these really speak to my own experience. So back to these questions. I've talked a little bit about my practice and what it means to me. It's definitely that present to presence, and it's very simple. And it is about a deepening sensation of being. So it's really important that I go to my secret school at the Y and cultivate that as much as I can and be out in nature. And those little things that I talked about, the dust and the sunbeam and the sound of clicking keys, those become like sacraments. And the sacrament of the present moment is not just an idea, it becomes a reality in just the course of everyday life. It really is possible, and it's so simple if I get out of the way. Over the years, the way that it's changed is it used to be that three-step process that Donald talked about so eloquently and described. And I needed that three-step process to clear things out and to just remember to have the steps to the dance. I had to know the steps and practice the steps. And now I don't need the steps to the dance. It's a much more simple inner turning. And there's really no effort to it except to remember. And the way that I remember is when I get pissy and cranky and there's human funk and the junk is built up and I can tell. And then it's clear to return. And it's about dropping into that spaciousness. And for me, the yoga of self-remembering is returning to breath. It's returning to touch. It's feeling myself a part of something bigger. Something bigger than me is flowing through me and present all the time. This all just sounds so simple, but we know it's not. And we all need to find our way home and find out what gets in the way while we're on the way. And whereas there used to be a lot of work on the side of knowledge, that really has gone away as well. It's much more work on the side of being. For a while, I couldn't read at all. I can read a little bit now. And it's just not where I'm drawn. And so I just practice and stay in the process. I want to share in this next slide. David Hawkins is really one of my teachers. And I turn to him often, every day, in fact, in some small way to help me remember. And I came across this quote, which I'll share with you now. And let's read it out loud together, or you can listen, or if you wish to just close your eyes. He says, because of that which you have become, the Kundalini energy flows automatically based on the level of consciousness through the appropriate chakra system, the acupuncture system, and it alters the brain physiology as a consequence of that which it is. From consciousness level 200 and up, brain physiology shifts from the left brain to the right brain. And the whole sequence of processing is completely different. This is natural. It's a consequence of that which you have become. If you turn your life into devotion to become that, and you be that, then you can see the beauty and divinity of all that exists and the sacredness of all of life. You see the divinity that shines forth through all creation. So the more you practice, the more your brain and body physiology helps you evolve. Being begets being. I feel like I'm a different person and even in a different body than I was 25 years ago. And I didn't do any of this, but something happened. And what happened then naturally changes what I'm attracted to and what feeds me. So I am attracted towards more right brain impressions, not to words, but to art and to music and to nature, to more non-conceptual stillness, silence, that blue abyss that Cynthia talked about. And it's not anything that I tried to do, although in the beginning, there definitely was a realization that I needed to upgrade my impressions, the impressions I was taking in every day, the three foods. I definitely needed to upgrade that. And now it's just a natural consequence of the process. And what David Hawkins says is you live from context instead of content. And that's really where my attention is, in context. I can feel it now just sitting here. It's like home to me. You just drop out of the content into context, and it's there even while speaking. And that's a right brain orientation. But what, even with all of that, I still see the times where I'm judging, I'm impatient, I'm impatient with my husband because he forgot where he put his keys, and you know, and what really matters to me is how I show up in relationship. So while all this may be true, what really matters is, do I show up as kinder and gentler, with more compassion, more ahimsa, more nonviolence towards myself? That's what matters. And this week, I came across a poem by Hafiz, which I'll just share a piece of art on screen so you can look at it while I tell you about this poem, because it was so perfect. And it's called Becoming Human. And it starts off, and this man comes to him, and he starts talking to Hafiz for hours and hours about all these amazing visions he's had of God. And he says to Hafiz, well, what do you think? Do you think they're true? And this is after he's been going on and on. And Hafiz says, how many goats do you have? And the man says, wait a minute, I was just speaking of amazing, sublime things. Why are you asking me about goats? And Hafiz says, how many do you have? And the man answers, and then he says, well, how many wives do you have? And the man says, and he's just sort of flummoxed. He doesn't know what to do in this state where he's bringing all these amazing things. And he says, and how many birds do you feed? And how many children? And are your parents alive? And he made the man answer all of these questions. And then he said, the degree that those visions were true, or if they made you more human. And I thought, that's it for me. How do I show up? Who am I in relationship? Can I practice ahimsa? That's why I'm doing all of this. It's not for the consolations. It's not for any of that. So that became a useful and humbling story for me this week. I wanted to play a little video for you. It's only a minute and a half on David Hawkins speaking of self-remembering. Let me do something and try again.
God immanent means the realization of the source of one's own existence radiating forth as your beingness, traditionally called realization of the self. Realization is sort of the right word, but not actually. What happens is more a recognition. It's more that everything you've seen in a familiar way, now you see it as a radiance of its essence. It's like revealed. It's recognized. You recognize yourself as all that exists, as the essence of all that exists. Although it's a realization, it's really a recognition. It's also a remembrance, because as it shines forth, one wonders how one could have forgotten that. Some terrible insanity must have overtaken you, that you've forgotten who you are. How could that be? It's a wonderment. And that you were okay all along. All the lifetimes that you worried about everything was ridiculous. Your survival is guaranteed, because that which is the essence of life has neither beginning nor ending.
So in another place, another video that I watched, he says this: in the midst of cacophony and catastrophe, there is nothing but the infinite silence. You identify with the silence. Just maintain the awareness. You can go about your daily life and do everything you need to do, and at all times, still be aware of the presence of the silence. So that gives you a centering kind of prayerfulness. You're always aware of the silence, which is the infinite context, the reality of the presence of God. Is in infinite silence. So he's speaking here directly to the beautiful combination of practices that we have with centering prayer and with the work of inner Christianity. What a beautiful flowing together of what we've been doing for decades now. Building the accumulator of this silence, this centering kind of prayerfulness, the context And likewise, Father Thomas. Centering prayer is like hearing the music rather than just the notes. Beyond all the noises of our mind is the mysterious sound of silence, which is no sound. The sound of no sound takes place when a deep listening morphs into presence. Centering prayer is not free of thoughts, but grows with daily practice in detachment from them. It is to will to be totally present to God, mouth to mouth. The physical symbol of heart to heart, which emphasizes the intimacy and the intensity of relationship. So these two quotes to me from two great teachers in our lineage just say it all, really. It says the importance of silence as a practice of self-remembering, of cultivating that silence, of detaching from thoughts which still run, and programs for happiness still run, and yet the silence is there. I guess the last thing that I'd like to share before we close is a practice that I've taken up recently, and it has to do with art making. And on the left is one of my grandchildren, age 5, and on the right, another grandchild at the Georgia Aquarium. And one of my aims has become to become as a child. And I've taken up the right brain practice of art making. And I know some of you are artists and have a lot more experience with this than I do, but it's been a very transformative experience. And what has become is a process of self-exploration and self-transcendence as I'm becoming as a child, as a baby artist. And there is an invitation every time to flow with flow, capital F, and to be with the creator, and to allow that creator to flow, to be the witness of the flow. And I'm also the witness to the blocks to the flow, because the minute there's blocks or judgment, nothing happens. Or the doer steps in and everything gets really hard and complex really quickly. And so then I have to find ways to open and unburden the human funk and junk that's gotten in the way. And it's all about the process. It's not about what actually gets made. And it becomes a real adventure if you can give yourself to it. I have a teacher, and you saw actually some of her art this evening, and she encourages something called reckless abandon. But you have to do it with 100% kindness and 0% judgment. And if there's even 1% judgment, it doesn't work. And I can verify that she's absolutely right. And that's become a very powerful practice to use when I'm observing and non-identifying and remembering and just trying to feel into that flow and get out of the way. And it all has to be done with ahimsa, with nonviolence to the self. Otherwise, it doesn't work. And it is such a powerful practice for me. And so I do that practice as much as I can. And I'd like to close with something from today's liturgy that's a perfect prayer. Remain in my love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. I invite you to place one hand on your heart and one hand on your belly. Feeling your breath. I am enough. I have enough. I am. I am flowing. I can be the witness and not the doer. I can feel the context of silence holding me, embracing me. Remain in my love. Amen. I was going to see if anybody had any comments or questions, and if not, we can end early. Steve.
Well, that was beautiful, Pamela. And this whole evening, kind of from the beginning of a liturgy we reviewed and through this presentation, brings me to this place of being like a kid, like 10. And exploring in the woods, and you make this turn and that, and you wonder what's around this corner, wonder what's around that corner. What are you going to discover? And it's all discovery. And, you know, this Donald's presentation about self-observation is self-remembering. Once you cut a path through that woods, you know how to get to the next spot. And you keep burrowing in and you build on what you've done, and there's always something around the corner. So that gives me hope. So thanks.
Very well said, Steve. Thank you. That's so true for me. And it's part of what I mentioned earlier, that I had to even like find my way between last week and this week. And at one point, probably 7 or 8 years ago, I realized that everything that I had been giving myself to wasn't it anymore. And I had to find my way again. That all the practices, all of the devotions that I had, I lost my way and I had to find my way through that woods. And it was a big adventure. And that's actually what matured conscience was, that time, because I had to find that inner voice again. Stuart and Sharon.
Good evening. The finding my way over and over again over the years takes it in deeper and makes this work more and more my own.
Last
week when I read the homework, there was a feeling of delight. And I remembered back years ago in the Thursday night classes and the Friday night classes, when the homework was given, there was a different reaction. It was like I needed to suit up, put my armor on, gird my loins, because pain was coming. And now there's more of a sense of delight. And I discovered last week that over the last only several months to a year, I noticed that when I go to my job, which whatever I think about it on an ordinary level is one thing, but as a curriculum for this work, it's perfectly suited. And I go in the pre-dawn hours and there's plenty of provocation, plenty of things stirred up. People have been working overnight. And the eyes that self-observe aren't fast enough to catch many of the afflictions that happen. But something over the last several months has been catching it. And it brings me into a state of self-remembering. And there goes Stuart. That's his reaction. And then it begins to get behind it and separate from it and wonder about it. And it's just made the biggest difference in the ease of the day. And I find that as the doer begins working, then it's the wrong energy for the task. The wrong eyes are working. It's the wrong center. You know, often it's emotional center energy moving my body.
Yeah.
It's not efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Neither is purely intellectual center energy. I have to be in the energy of the body. And that happens because these states just happen. And self-remembering comes, and then non-identification follows. And then the internal considering and the stories and the accounts relax and let go.
Yeah. Amen. So beautiful. Thank you, Stuart. Okay.
This was for me tonight, this presentation, if you want to call it that, took me right straight to my emotional center and my body center. And I want to thank you so much for just the gift of being able to put all of these experiences and states into words. That is such a difficult thing to do. So I thank you for that. I was moved with each one of the slides that you presented. And another thing I wanted to express is, in our journey group this week, as each of us expressed our experience, our current experiences of what we took to be self-remembering, how different each person's experience of self-remembering is. It is such a personal, unique thing. And what I used to think of, you know, several decades ago as self-remembering, I see was like maybe a first grader's view of arithmetic. And that's probably not a very good analogy, since that's just an intellectual thing, skill. But to realize that each person's experience of self-remembering is so different. But thank you so much for your willingness to use your gift of translating these personal experiences into words for us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gay. It is hard. It's not easy for me. I'd rather not. And as I said, a lot of the words came from others, and that really helps.
Yes.
Thank you.
Could I say what? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
One quick thing. Did I mute myself?
No, you're on. You're on.
Okay. One quick thing is what I am realizing more and more is what I'm getting from you is that there is work in that direction. There has to be work on my part, but it comes from higher centers. It comes mm-hmm. from somewhere higher. It's nothing that I do ultimately. So thank you. That's
amen.
It.
Amen. Be the witness, not the doer. Rachel.
Hey, Pamela.
Hi.
Hey, everybody. So I have had a fear follow me for as long as I can remember, a deep fear that I've never been able to put my finger on. And as I've deepened my centering prayer practice, I don't often meet that fear. I experience that spaciousness and that presence, and it's lovely. And I hunger for it in relationship and in my life. But when I'm in, I've noticed that the fear usually kind of propels my doing eyes. And the other day I had this experience with all the rush after work, bring the kids home, start to make dinner. My son's practicing piano. And he says, "Mom, come listen." So I'm always listening while I'm doing cooking dinner, but I kind of went and stood up against the door and leaned back against the wall, and he started playing. And I felt the fear come up. And I realized, and like as I was listening to his playing and my body relaxed into the flow and feeling of that music, I noticed, or at least the fear became more concrete about, or I was able to put my finger on it a bit more, I guess you could say, in that I have a fear of fully being alive and living and witnessing. And, you know, those children just really do bring in right to it if I can let myself, you know. And so it was, I really get tired of having the fear. I've spent a lot of time in my life trying to avoid it. And now more than ever, I'm trying to embrace it in a way that will hopefully help it to dissipate. And I don't know what that looks like, because that would be my doer, but certainly being a part of what you spoke to tonight, just, I can't put it into words, but wherever it's taking me, I that's the direction I want to go, put it that way. Yeah. Thank you.
Rodney.
Hey, Pamela.
Hey.
Hey. First of all, I just want to say how much I've appreciated over the years being with you at times. And it's just been so incredibly useful as far as you being one of my teachers. This last week, I had got to spend with my little 18-month-old granddaughter. And this idea of being like a child, and I've retired now about 5 or 6 months and just been able to kind of be in that mode more. But my daughter sent me a video of her and my granddaughter sitting by a pond, and the sun was shining on the water, and little Davy says, "Water happy." And it was just like, okay, that's it. Right there, water happy.
Yeah.
Just the sun glimmering down on the pond.
Lucky you. Yeah. Thanks, Rodney.
Love you, Pamela.
Love you too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lauren.
Thank you, Pamela. It was, I felt in the invitation to touch my body and to touch my pain in my body, I found to be very moving. And in the small W world that I was a part of for a while, I learned that in every, back in the old days when movies were only an hour and a half and it was film, and I don't quite know the video figures, but every hour and a half that you see a moving image in a movie, we were made to understand that the screen for 30 minutes of that hour and a half is completely black. So the so-called moving images are just a bunch of still images, eh? And when you spoke tonight, and I was feeling my body, and the short of it is, I wonder if there may be this grand silence that Hawkins spoke about. I felt it when you made your presentation in my own body. And I feel that maybe there's a kind of a, I don't quite know even how to say it, but the great silence always is there amidst all this noise. It's just amazing. And yet it's true. And thank you, Pamela, for making that clear.
Yeah. In fact, David Hawkins has done consciousness research that 99% of our brain is completely silent. And we pay attention to the 1%. Yeah, so point well made. Thank you, Lauren. It's always there. Elena, you'll have to be our last share, and then we'll turn it over to Marianne, please.
Okay, Pamela, it's just a quick question. You mentioned one of your practices, you mentioned two words. I didn't get the first word. I got the second word, the second. The second was abandonment. Which was
reckless abandon. That's a practice when I'm making art. It's not really a practice for life. Okay. However, I mean, with some skillful means, it could be. I think that being as a child, there is a certain abandonment, maybe not reckless, but there is an abandonment. And so put whatever adjective in front of that that's useful for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Elena. Thank you all. Thank you all. Marianne.
Thank you, Pamela. Thank you. I'd like to close first with an affirmation, which began our time together. And it seems appropriate to close our time together. When I began to see, I began to love what I see. And so it is. Happy Mother's Day. May we all know the mother. God's love is always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed I am to simply remember God. Protect us, Lord, while we are awake, and watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and to sleep, rest in Christ's peace. Amen.